of flying blind.
CBS News medical contributor Dr. Celine Gounder.
There's not enough testing of the farm workers. There's not enough testing of the dairy cattle. There's not enough testing of the milk.
As the outbreak grows with at least 114 herds infected in 12 states, researchers are going public with concern over a lack of information testing might provide.
Is it adapting to humans and other mammals? And is it adapting in the direction where it could spread from human to human?
Michael Toscano, CBS News, Washington.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
What is the worst movie franchise? Do you have one, Conrad?
What are your thoughts on Transformers?
I saw one Transformer movie. I think it was the first one. I didn't even know what the hell was going on.
I can't get into them anymore because, you know, it's the same every movie now.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be nice if you knew which Transformer. I know there's like testosterone and overload and whatever they, you know.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
And here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there, sunny and 75, almost a little chilly in the shade. Now, let's get a read on the inside of your car. It is hot. You've only been parked a short time and it's already 99 degrees in there. Let's not leave children in the back seat while running errands. It only takes a few minutes for their body temperatures to rise, and that could be fatal.
Cars get hot, fast, and can be deadly. Never leave a child in a car. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
This relationship that I'm having with my phone, it's a one-way trip to hell. Al from Milwaukee.
What's her name?
Who?
This person you have this relationship with.
My phone. Man, my wife is listening. What are you talking about, man?
I teach healthy relationships, so you can enroll in my class. It starts at 10 o'clock.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tappo Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Of course it is. Well, maybe it's not. It's just Tim. Teacher Hallie, Educators Amplified, Busted Pencils Special Night, Educated Educators Talking Education, Amplifying the Voices of Educators. It's just Teacher Hallie in the house. Teacher Joanna and Johnny Lupinacci, Dr. Johnny Lupinacci. Well, you know, occasionally, sometimes there are other things that come up. And when that happens, that's what's great about having a team of four, typically on a Wednesday, is that we can still show up and really kick some, you know, butt. That would be butt, not the other thing. Teacher Hallie, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm excited for it to be just the two of us. Let's go. We can still riff.
Hey,
right?
I think we can. I mean, typically the whole idea is that people are going to like, oh my God, who's going to shut the two of them up?
Well, I'll shut you up and you shut me up.
Okay, we'll go back and forth. You know what though, Teacher Hallie, just a reminder. You know the Busted Pencils? It's sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, who sued the state of Wisconsin to end its crappy voucher system that hurts public schools. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out MinocquaBrewingCompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer. I didn't know if you'd forgotten that, Hallie.
No, thank you for the reminder.
Okay. And Sherry from HorrorCon, thank you so much for saying hi in the text all the time. Good evening, boys and girls. Well, yeah, or boy and girls, or yeah, you know, however, us, them, everybody here. Oh, it's Busted Pencils. It's Fully Leaded Education Talk. The number is 855-752-4842. Special Educators Amplified. We've got some topics here. Teacher Hallie, but today, you know, first of all, it is a holiday.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Juneteenth, right?
Yep. Juneteenth.
Happy Juneteenth. Now, we're going to pose a question to the listeners out there, yeah, or anybody. But first of all, you know, we're just saying Juneteenth celebration marking the day in Texas when slaves were read that they were free, you know, so, mm-hmm, this holiday, it's a holiday. And it is, as Anya pointed out before the show started, you know, banks are closed on Juneteenth. So it's a holiday. The question, though, in today's world that we currently occupy,
2024.
Oh, sad. If school were in session, would the public schools be acknowledging Juneteenth as a holiday? Would we be teaching the students about the history of Juneteenth? Or would we find us all wrapped up in turmoil because, you know, Juneteenth is just one of those critical race theory topics that is meant to divide us and split us up, and we're not going to go down that rabbit hole? I don't know. That's a question. You kind of posed that this morning thinking, mm-hmm, about that. So if school were in session right now, would there be the holiday? I think that answer is probably, yeah, it would still be there. The thing, yeah, that we're more kind of intrigued or possibly throwing out to the listener for you to call in and let us know is that in 2024, with all of the attacks on what are called critical race theory, the truth, divisive concepts, mm-hmm, would Juneteenth be framed as one of those divisive concepts? And would we be having discussions about whether we should even be talking about it? I think it's a powerful question.
Oh, I do too. I mean, and I have theories myself. Mm-hmm. I think it, you know, because Wisconsin is a battleground state, I think it definitely depends on where you live, like what county you live in, how red or blue it is. Mm. You know what I mean? And how, like, and then I also think, like, so if you're in more of a blue county, I would say, yes, they'll be talking about it. There's probably an assembly or a celebration or an honoring that, like, the whole district does.
Right.
I feel like in a red county, it's like crickets or dependent on the teacher.
Hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
But I won't even put it just on teachers, because what I see often living in a red county is that we have school boards now that are very much running with their power and, like, using it like, I don't even know, like, that, like, the power is all theirs. And I think that they're very good at inciting fear in professionals.
I think that where you hit on that, the question of how many teachers would feel threatened.
Right.
With the idea of going, what do I do today on Juneteenth? Can I teach this? I've now been a teacher for the past, let's just imagine, 10 years, 15 years. But in the last 3 years, I have been in classrooms and have heard school board meetings and have read news articles. And I'm not so sure I want to go down in that direction, because who knows if I might not offend somebody. And so it's that chilling effect.
Well, who knows if I'll get quote unquote caught.
Right.
And then let go.
Yeah. Well, right away, caller Mark from Prairie du Sac. Mark. Mark's on the line. What's happening, Mark?
Yeah, thanks. And talking about the Civil War, it just brings back to mind, and this is going back some 50 years ago now, when I was in 11th grade, and my teacher, Bernie Tomczak, lectured on the Civil War. I particularly remember the lecture when he talked about the Battle of Shiloh and the peach blossoms dropping on the dead and wounded during the Battle of Shiloh. I mean, it's just sad that, you know, American history is being forgotten, and they're hesitant to teach about it. And certainly, you know, Juneteenth, it should be a teachable moment, because it took that long, even though that they probably were full aware in Galveston, the officials were probably fully aware in Galveston of the fact that the South had lost and the Emancipation Proclamation had been made. They chose to do that until the Federals actually arrived to enforce the Emancipation Proclamation. I mean, it is just, and that should be recognized as well, because there's, you know, that it's, and the fact of the matter is, as soon as Jim Crow ended, I mean, as soon as Reconstruction ended, Jim Crow replaced it. Right. And that's something that is not taught, and Jim Crow is still with us, and its legacy is still with us.
Yeah, I think, Mark, yeah, you know, it's one of those, too. You make me think about this in Teacher Hallie, because there's so many ways that this comes up, because you hear Mark going like, there's so much history. You know, it's not just Juneteenth. It's like, why Juneteenth? Why do we celebrate? Yeah. What's the history? What was the intentionality of keeping people suppressed to even knowing that fact, that it took that long for that message to get delivered? Was there an intentionality to keep people enslaved as long as they could? You know, and that's part of the history. It's part of the story. And I think that's where you would start to find people saying, you know what? We can have Juneteenth. We can have a parade. We can have a picnic. Yep. But we're not talking about the facts, though, because those facts make me uncomfortable. And if you're a teacher out there inflicting uncomfort on people, watch out, because the history police are going to come for you. It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educators amplified, Teacher Hallie in the house. 855-752-4842 is the number if you want to join us, just like Mark did. Mark, really appreciate your call.
Yeah.
And you know what? Yeah, Anya, let's jump in right away. You know, you volunteered there.
I guess,
Go for it.
So I was just sort of sitting here listening to this, and I think it's important, right? The difference between the Emancipation Proclamation, here's Abraham Lincoln saying, we're going to free the slaves, versus that news finally getting, you know, because until the news gets to these folks, unless they all know about it and subsequently choose to walk off of the where they're being kept and they could be subjected to violence, right? The Emancipation Proclamation means nothing until these folks get to leave. So this is kind of similar in a way to why there's International Holocaust Remembrance Day, but then there's also Yom HaShoah. And International Holocaust I can't get my words out today. International Holocaust Remembrance Day falls on the day actually that the Soviet military basically got to Auschwitz to liberate it, whereas Yom HaShoah is like is more set on the day that we actually see like prisoners, incarcerated individuals of the Holocaust getting out and being able to talk about their liberation. The difference between the story of the liberator, the soldier, or the president who does the thing and gets there with the guns and the military versus, okay, and the folks, the people who needed to be freed because someone decided to make them unfree, when is their day? And it's kind of similar. It's like, I don't want to equate things to be the same.
No.
Similar.
What's similar on this one, the way we're talking about this, is the richness that comes around these stories, the history, and how you can relate, you know, going like, well, this happened and then this, and you make, you know, that's what you do. And I know, you know, Johnny, you know, past social studies teachers, both of us, I mean, this is the type of things you want to engage students in constantly. Yeah. Is comparison. How is this like this? How is mm-hmm. this not like this? Mm-hmm. How are they, you know, and let's talk about it. And so, yeah, think mm-hmm. about that. We're putting forth the question then here today on Juneteenth. Would there, if school were in session, would there be these critical analysis, these discussions based around the history, or would it be potentially in today, 2024, kind of just churned into, you know, hey, it's another holiday. It's another day for a parade or for us to, you know, listen to African drumming music and we're going to walk around. But other than that, though, we're not going to dare come close. Teacher Hallie.
Yeah, it makes me think about, like, right, it's what we're faced now as educators is this, like, we're either allowed to be the professional, like, where we can give the critical thinking and help, you know, encourage students to think and inquire on all of this stuff, right? Even when Anya was talking, like, I got chills. Like, I love thinking like that. Kids just eat that up, right? Because it's making them think. Versus, well, what fun fact can I just give about Juneteenth? Right. You know, like, it's really stripping away the professionalism when we have all this.
That's the question. It's the question we're asking with Educators Amplified tonight. You know, Juneteenth, if school were in session, would we be teaching it or would we be just kind of having a little bit of a fun day? Busted Pencils, fully led at Education Talk, 855-752-4842. Give us a call. We'll be right back.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot. Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was when they moved the camera. Whenever it's like the red alert. The,
right.
Yeah. That was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like.
Right. Lean left. Great. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Just the two of us, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education, 855-752-4842. Oh, you know, hey, we said
you can make anything into a rock song.
Hey, best music anywhere. We say it all the time. Busted Pencils, you know, you're going to get some type of surprise. Juneteenth, though, question, you know, if today, well, you know, if we were still school in session, what would the students, the teachers, the schools, the school districts be doing around this day? And we kind of framed it as this potentially problematic in 2024 because there's a story here that might make some people uncomfortable. You know, so is it Emancipation Day? Is it Freedom Day? These are questions right away, right? That somebody could go, well, wait a minute. No, you know, we can have hot dogs. I'll even allow the drumming African drummers to come in and do a little celebration, but we are not going to be talking about the specifics of Juneteenth. Why did it take so long for the message to get to the slaves? Why did it take so long for us to actually have a holiday around Juneteenth? Because those topics, if we start getting into those types of discussions, Teacher Hallie, somebody might be offended.
Yeah, and I think it's what's wild to me is that, like, it's got to be deeper than uncomfortable and offended. You know what I mean? Like, for people to want to get in positions of power and to, like, eliminate this type of conversation, this type of critical thinking, this type of conversation is just so deep to me. Like, it is to me, like, it's just an attack on, like, the profession of education and, like, really an attack on, like, the children's minds and, like, the capacities of, like, where you could go with their minds. Because, again, like I said, I just keep sitting here thinking about how this has so much to do with taking away the autonomy of teachers. And people will be like, well, I don't want my teacher to have autonomy. You know, I'm like, well, why not? Because they're professionals. Yeah. You know, like, we should want them to be able to take a conversation and route it wherever it needs to go. It actually makes me think about a shout out to a teacher I won't name because I think this was fear inducing, but my child's second grade teacher, and it was around Martin Luther King Day. So related, but not related, but essentially a conversation about racism came up, you know, with 7 and 8 year olds. Okay. Right. And students in the class shared about how they had experienced racism in their life. And so my daughter came home, who is white, and she was just, like, beside herself, you know, like, she's very empathic, where she's just like, why would people do that? That is awful, Mom. You know, and then she's like, I was crying in class. But to me, I was like, what an amazing conversation. Mm-hmm. As I'm listening to my, I don't remember if she was 7 or 8 at the time, my 8-year-old be able to tell me about what racism is in a very, like, developmentally appropriate 8-year-old way. Mm-hmm. I was like, dang, that teacher knows how to navigate this conversation. So just being who I am, I emailed her being like, thank you so much. Like, this is why I send my children to public school. Those type of conversations that just come up that you can navigate professionally is amazing. And her response back to me was like, do you mind sending this or, like, forwarding it on to the principal? Because I'm getting, like, my principal is, like, basically telling me I need to send an apology to all the parents, a clarification about why I talked about it, because she's so scared that the school board will find out and then they'll be upset. You know, so that teacher was, like, mortified.
Right.
And, like, walking away being scared versus, and then I did find out later from talking to other parents and then encouraging them, like, email her. You know, but it was, and they were excited that the conversation happened. But I'm just like, this is the environment that teachers are teaching in of, like. Well,
so imagine. Right. Yeah. Imagine then today, Juneteenth, if we were in school, same when you're sitting there and what you described, though, with your daughter in that, though, is exactly I can see the other parent going, how dare you send my daughter home in tears, feeling bad about being white? What in the heck are you doing with? Right. No,
I'm interrupting you because what's wild to me is that, like, I get our brain. I think we're so conditioned now to think about, like, the quote unquote other parent. But I'm telling you that class of, you know, random class of probably 30 second graders, there weren't parents that were like, lock her up, you know, like, nobody complained.
Right.
You know, so that's where I just get, like, why does our brain go to, like, but we need to be careful about the what if situation of the one parent that might say something or might find out, you know, I'm like, it's taking away the professionalism and a true public education for kids.
And that is what you're explaining, though, is that's the reality of today is that how much, I know, how much can be stifled without actually any harm being done or anything like that. Right. You know, it's Educators Amplified Night, Teacher Hallie. Dr. Tim Slecker and Anya on the boards. Another text from Sherry from Oregon. It needs to be uncomfortable, but told. Right on. I mean, that's the reality here. We got to do that. And just think about that, you know, because the reality of the potential that none of the parents were associated with you and your daughter and all that, like you're all fine with that. But it doesn't matter anymore because there is a story out there of a teacher who, you know, got put into the wet dungeon with the rats and made to hang out there for days as their punishment for daring to make somebody. But the story gets out that this did happen, right? And so then the anxiety response on that then is to catastrophize way above and beyond the reality that will typically go. And then you stifle yourself. And people, you know, people say, well, what's the problem? You don't, if it's true, you don't have, it's like, no, you understand this silences people very powerfully without actually doing any type of harm. I remember that my first couple of years teaching have some, you know, it's like, you're going to get in trouble, Tim. You're going to get in trouble. And I kept wondering, I'm like, how do you know that? Where is the evidence that trouble has occurred? And it must have been so horrible because we have no evidence of anybody having ever gotten in trouble. But the fear of getting in trouble has created such a backlash that people go, hey, you know, and I would even say, I'm like, when did this person get in trouble? What happened that was so horrific that the rest of you now have decided that we're going to actually warn people about what happens when they get in trouble? Juneteenth, Busted Pencils, Educators Amplified, Fully Leaded Education Talk, all those things, Educated Educators Talking Education, 855-752-4842. Do a little bit more Juneteenth, but hey, the other thing though too, if you're an administrator out there and you're hiring a consultant, we want to talk to you when we get back.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. Chances are you don't need me to tell you it's been hot.
Temperatures reaching 95 in Philadelphia to Louisville baking at 98 degrees. Maine saw nearly 80 heat-related emergency visits this week as high temperatures hovered near 100 degrees.
CBS's Lilia Luciano in New York City. Grab your ice packs and crank up that air conditioner. The hot temperatures continuing through the weekend. Heat warnings in effect across much of Southern Europe, too. Now, who will be Donald Trump's running mate?
The shortlist is shortening. Sources close to Trump tell CBS News that North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum definitely in the hunt, along with Ohio Senator J.D. Vance, among others. The discussions, as ever, with Trump, fluid.
CBS's Robert Costa at a grocery store south of Little Rock, Arkansas, yesterday.
It was definitely shots fired continuously.
Three dead, 11 wounded, two responding officers, and the suspect wounded. He's under arrest. No word on motive. CBS News Brief. I'm Vicki Barker.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The Brewers lose in San Diego. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers lost to the Padres 9-5 at Petco Park. The Padres with 9 runs off of 15 hits. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
They hit the ball tremendous tonight. The Padres were tremendous. They've been, since that win in Philadelphia, they've been playing great, swinging the bat great.
Brewers reliever Hobie Milner charged with the loss. Hockey, the Stanley Cup Finals. The Oilers beat the Panthers again, this time 5-1. So now the series moves back to Florida for a final game set. Monday night, face-off 7 o'clock. NFL, the Packers training camp now a month away. I asked Romeo Dobbs if this is a good time to finish memorizing the playbook.
Yeah, growth is everything, you know. Coach always says it. It's either you're getting better or getting worse, and I believe that every guy in our room has gotten better throughout the course of this offseason. And again, to make it short, I'm looking forward to it.
That's Packers wide receiver Romeo Dobbs with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, showers and thunderstorms are likely. We'll see a high near 73 degrees. For tonight, mostly cloudy and lows in the upper 50s. Mostly sunny. We clear things out for Sunday, a high near 78. And for Monday, sunshine and highs near 84.
It's 64 at our studios.
It's 2024 and Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Water World, is ready for another season. Our schools have expanded, and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr. Wisconsin weather is ever changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Consider yourself a snowbird with property in the south, or just like to vacation there. You'll want to keep an eye on what's predicted to be an active hurricane season from now through the end of November. Forecasters say that there's an 85% chance of above the normal number of hurricanes, especially in the Atlantic Basin. Here's what it could look like. 17 to 25 storms, 8 to 13 of them becoming hurricanes, and 4 to 7 of those could be major. If you're wondering why, temperatures in the Atlantic Ocean are near record warmth, and La Niña conditions are developing, and both of these support the formation of tropical storms. No matter where you go, it's information to keep you and your family weather ready. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
Monday morning, join me as I stroll through memory lane and take in the sounds of the Motor City. It's Motown Mondays.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Wednesday, educators amplified in the house, Teacher Hallie, Teacher Joanna, you know, and Johnny tonight. Other things have come up, and that is, you know, again, family first all the time. Teacher Hallie, though, you know, Juneteenth today, we kind of posed the beginning of the show to kind of, you know, if school were in session today, you know, what would be happening in schools? Would there be teaching about Juneteenth, about the history, about why it took so long for the message to get to those slaves in Texas? Would we be engaging, or would it be simply in today, 2024? Hey, you know what? I don't want to make anybody uncomfortable, so we're just going to have hot dogs and announce that it's a holiday.
Yep. I mean, gosh, it bothers me that that's like how it, you know, like how things roll, you know. I also think about, like, I always think about, because we're in this type of environment right now, like, is there anyone that's there to like defend or be like, nope, this is what we should be doing? You know what I mean? Like, it's very based on like, here's what we should do, here's what we shouldn't do, versus like just what's felt mentally appropriate. Like, is anyone going to come out here and try to like defend that, you know? And to me, I could be like, oh, that could be like an administrator's role to, you know, to preserve the autonomy or preserve the professionalism of the educators in the classroom. But I don't know if they view that as their role or not. you know?
Well, that's a whole other question that you bring up there too. What does an administrator believe their role is in these situations? You know, lots of administrators, and let's use that word, and some people, you mean the leadership? Potentially, administrators, yeah, are sometimes by default the leaders. However, if you were a leader in this situation, I'm pretty sure you would, yeah, advocate for the autonomy. Potentially, though, this is one of those situations where would district administration want to consult an outside source to potentially give them guidance?
Yeah. I mean, so this is what's crazy about a school is that like the hierarchy is stacked, right? Where it's like teachers at, well, students at the bottom, then teachers, then building administration, then district administration, you know, and district administration more and more. I used to think like superintendent was at the top, but I'm seeing more and more with these cultures of like fear, essentially, that they're like, kind of superintendents are kind of like not lowering themselves very low, but kind of being like, we work with the cabinet of the pupil services director and the athletic director and the, I made up this title director, you know, so that it's like this little team of people. So no one can say like, I said it.
Yeah.
And then they can be like, oh, we hired this consultant who said dot, dot, dot. Right. And so what's really just has been very interesting to me as an educator is seeing how many consultants, like the superintendent gets to hire a consultant. The pupil services director gets to hire a consultant. The curriculum and instruction director gets to hire a consultant. You know, like we have consultants for all of our quote unquote leaders. And right. What is that about?
When's the last time you as a teacher got to hire a consultant?
Well, sometimes I'll be like, I don't need a consultant.
No. I know. I just had to throw that out there. Like, I love Anya's comment. Where she put in there.
I was wondering, does someone get to be the director of making up titles if there's all these titles going around? And if there is, who is their consultant? And where do they go for their info?
Right. I mean, schools are so successfully marketed to that, you know, Google has a consultant, you know, like for an example, but also just like, oh, I'm a consultant of, are you having trouble with how to talk with your educators about special education? I'm a consultant for that. Oh, are you having difficulties with your financials in your district? Oh, I'm a consultant for that.
Okay, but you're making me think, though, on this now, too, about that, because I start to wonder about, do you need a consultant, or shouldn't that be your job responsibility, and shouldn't you have the professional authority and autonomy to be making those types of decisions? And then, you know, we're talking about school budgets, you know, where the heck does all this money come from for the consultants? Never do I hear that there's not enough money for the consultant. There's not enough money for, you know, the school band. There's not enough money for the field trip. There's not enough money for food. There's not enough money for teacher raises. Mm-hmm. Okay. But the consultant class, and I will say I have worked as a consultant though myself. And so I know. Yeah. You know, But asking the question, though, at what point should you be the one responsible for the work, have the authority and have the leadership skills to actually enact tough decisions that you shouldn't need a consultant? And if you need a consultant, is that really just evidence you're not really good?
I don't know. I would love if a district administrator or even a building administrator called in and gave us perspective on like, one, have you ever had a consultant? Two, what do you think that your role is in all of this? Like, you know, because right from my lens, I'm like, we hire a superintendent at, you know, like $150,000 plus. And I think that's I mean, right. That was really lowballing it. Mm-hmm. And then how much is a consultant, mm-hmm. you know, that like you, that they hire in for themselves, but yet all I ever hear is an educator, like the most expensive line items in the budget is educators, you know? So like, that's why we can never pay all the educators because they're so expensive. And I would love to like proportion it out of like, if there's X number of people in your district office, how much of your funding, what percentage goes to that and their consultants versus, you know, whatever. There's got to be, you know, I'm sure unions have done it, and, you know, figured it out. But it's actually terrifying, you know, that like when schools have budget issues, that what gets cut is things that affect students versus things that affect one superintendent and their consultant or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you think about that, you know, how do we make budget decisions? And yeah, some of those things, it's like, well, you know, yeah, we can do away with funding the kindergarten field trip this year. And you're like, well, why are we making that decision? Well, I can't cut my consultant.
Right.
You know, and again, and like you frame this, Teacher Hallie, by too saying, you know, and if you are a district administrator out there and you're listening to us right now, you know, give us a call, 855-752-4842. Either, you know, validate, verify what we're talking about, challenge us on it, because we're really, you know, we're asking these questions because, as Teacher Hallie points out, you know, it always seems like, particularly when it comes down to the budget. Mm-hmm. And if the budget's tight, which, hey, guess what? It's a public school. I don't know that there hasn't ever been anything but a tight budget. When you make those decisions, and this is a question that, you know, I kind of posed before the show, are the consultants' salaries, should they be disclosed as part of the financial situation that a school is in? And if we did know that, would we say, well, you know what? It's not that much money. Yeah, I guess we should cut the kindergarten field trip. I mean, how are these decisions made? So lots of issues coming up here as we bring this, you know, bring this forward, lots of different ways to throw it. But, you know, are you an administrator? Do you need a consultant? And if you do need a consultant, is that really an indication that you're not that qualified that you actually have to hire a consultant? Or is it an indicator that you're not that great of a leader and you just want to hire somebody who can tell you that here's what you need to say, and then you can then go to the masses or the team and say, the consultant said? Or even this possibility of going, it's just like, you know, how do we make decisions around making important declarations going all the way back to the Juneteenth? I could see this situation being, you know, a district school, an administrator, a group of leaders, the curriculum director, the director of making up titles, all getting together and going, you know what, you know how we could solve this problem? We'd hire a consultant.
Yeah, I can see, you know, from my experience in the current climate and culture that we're in, it is a lot of like people in the quote unquote leadership roles pointing to others or pointing to the team of like, so instead of it being like, I individually made this decision, if we hire consultants or work as a team or whatever, we can say things like, oh, well, the consultant recommended this, you know, like it almost gives that like pass or that like you can't ever pin anybody down to get to the root of the issue. And I think that's why we're just, these issues just aren't going away and we're just taking Band-Aids to try to cover things up. Or like when teachers are like, I'd love to do something on Juneteenth that's meaningful. It turns into like, well, let me ask X, Y, or Z, or the team decided this, or the consultant sent out the communication, and that's what we're doing in our district. You know, it just allows this like I guess, land of zero responsibility or zero like ownership, or like zero, like I can just like wipe my hands.
That's why now, you pay good money for the ability to offload the decision making. That's what's happening in a lot of these situations.
It feels like.
Yeah. You know, and I'll come back and say, I have worked and I still do some work as a consultant. So anybody who's out there listening going, why the heck is Tim? I'm like, I hire myself in situations to come in, and you know, it's more around a group and putting together strategic planning and the idea. And so, you know, I see places where I understand why you do have consultants. But I can point out, I know, but I can point out though what you just said though, Hallie, which is, you know what? A lot of times we hire consultants to make the hard decisions so that we don't have to be the ones to deliver the bad news. And that I'm framing that. So, you know, if you're listening out there and you know the situation I'm describing, 855-752-4842, you know, you've been part of consultanted. There, I just made up that word, consultanted, you know, so, you know, and possibly even to the point where you find yourself being told by your boss, hey, sorry, but the consultant said, and this is the decision we're making. And boy, how does that feel to be told by somebody who's a leader? And I say leader, and I'm not really sure you're a leader when you offload decision making to consultants. Hallie, before we break, I see you got something.
This just sounds like a really crazy ball of hierarchy and bureaucracy to me. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about power with versus power over. If we had a power with structure, things could be so much better. Yeah, you know?
The old distributed leadership, my goodness, sharing decision-making. Right. When you were talking about a team, though, and in fact, when we come back, I want to throw that out there because guess what? You do have qualified people to make these decisions. We're going to talk about them when we get back. More Busted Pencils next.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with a Work Money Minute about Buy Now, Pay Later services. You might know some of these names. Klarna, Affirm, Afterpay. These are where when you're shopping online, instead of buying something all at once, you could just pay 25% of the cost and then pay the rest off in installments. Well, turns out more and more folks are missing repayments. A recent Credit Karma survey found that 40% of Buy Now, Pay Later customers have missed their repayments. And that means fees, high interest payments, I mean like 36% interest, which turns these services from, oh, maybe useful, to, whoa, this is costing me way more than I expected. Buy Now, Pay Later services don't help your credit score, but they can hurt it. Not worth the risk. Those companies really mean that pay later part. Okay, folks, that was your Work Money Minute. For more money tips, head on over to workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Wednesday night, educators amplified in the house. Teacher Hallie, Dr. Tim Slicker, Anya. Yeah, the three of us, we're hanging out on Juneteenth, talking about, yeah, what will we do on Juneteenth if we were in school? And then the possibility of, well, this would be a decision we would turn over to a consultant to make. And Hallie, you know, you pointed out to me one of the things that I think, and I've seen this, the use of consultants to essentially keep hierarchy in place. Mm-hmm. Because you were talking about a team, right? And so I'm imagining a school, Okay. Mm-hmm. And I'm imagining three kindergarten teachers, three first grade teachers, three second grade teachers, a speech pathologist, a special education coordinator, all the way up through fifth grade. That's a team of really smart people who are all qualified to be an educator, to be a decision maker. Why don't we ask you guys to do this? And why do we offload this to a consultant? And I'm posing that question because, is it because we don't want to give you the autonomy to be decision makers?
I mean, that's how I interpret it. Honestly. But like, I'm open. You know, funny enough, I kept using the word team. And now I'm going to correct myself, because the word I always am told in education for what I would define as a team, but the word that's always used for district I'm in, those roles that work together, is the cabinet.
Oh, the cabinet.
The cabinet made this decision, which to me, I'm like, why don't they just say team? Like, it's a whole nother example to me, I guess, of the whole like, but we are the cabinet.
Well, but it creates separation, like you just said, because it's the cabinet. It's the executive group. It's it's the president's advisory council.
Yes.
And you're going, well, wait, why does the president have an advisory council that doesn't include any of us who are living it every day?
Right.
Right.
You know, this hierarchy system has got to go.
Well, how do I get on the advisory council? It's like, well, you don't. If you're a teacher, if you're actually, if you're part of the team, you don't get to be part of the decision making. We hire the decision making out to the group that is the authority. Oh my God, it gets so messy. Yes. Sounds like we're having a little bit of a conversation about what does it mean to be a leader? What does it mean to be an administrator? I think those are very, very, very different. And I will frame it this way by saying leaders should have some good administrative skills, but being an administrator does not make you a leader. And I see way too many administrators, and I'm saying across multiple different occupations, different categories, not just in schools, but that whole idea of I'm now an administrator. And the assumption is that you've been appointed a leader. And it's like, sorry, to me, leadership is earned.
Well, and I think it has to do too with like values or like philosophy. Of like, is it just like, because I am an administrator, quote unquote, at the top, I am named the leader versus how I treat, you know, everybody within the school or, you know, corporation or whatever, like how I operate, how, you know, we choose to work together. Is that more what defines someone having leadership skills?
Now, and I'm posing it though to really, you know, I obviously people are going, Tim, you obviously have an opinion on this. I do. I think that they're, I do. I've just because I've been, you know, guess what? I now get to potentially cite my age as the potential that I have some thoughts and wisdom and seen some things. And a lot of high up administrators, as you point out, Teacher Hallie.
Okay.
Over my 30 plus years of being in multiple places and multiple things, is that they're not always in any way, and some of them are horrible leaders. It is just because of the position that they are assumed a leader, and realizing there's a huge difference between being in charge and at the top and being a leader. And maybe this is even to that question you start going, why is it that you might have a leader who doesn't need a consultant? I don't know.
Right. And I also think about then, I mean, what we haven't talked about, but I'll bring back full circle because I think it has to do with our Juneteenth conversation too, about also part of this hierarchy in schools is a school board. And like, do we consider school board members leaders? Do we consider them more just a position of power? And like, depending on who's there, what they do. I mean, I know school boards get to hire consultants too, you know, right? Or even legal, you know? Yeah. So like, it's just, I mean, it's a very layered, like, issues within education related to this concept of leadership.
Oh, and you think about it though too. We got here by talking about Juneteenth. Juneteenth. Right. If we were, you know, fully in a school in right now, in session, if we were in session, would we be even celebrating Juneteenth? Oh, and we got a text from Jim in Appleton. Different terms. The difference between a diplomat and a bureaucrat.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I'm talking about. You know, a leader versus an administrator, a diplomat versus a bureaucrat. And there's a connotation that one's better than the other people. Yes, there is a connotation that one is preferable above the other. And I'm okay with that because I've now seen bureaucrats and administrators that are really horrible at being diplomatic and providing a model of leadership. Sorry, you know, that's just the reality. And, you know, is that the reason, though, sometimes too, if you're hiring a consultant, is it just because you yourself don't have the skill set? I think that's one issue. Or is it also because the skill set you don't have really is leadership? And so therefore you're hiring somebody to make the hard decisions where a real leader would make those hard decisions. When it comes to Juneteenth, a real leader, if we were in school, we would be doing this. Busted pencils, Teacher Hallie, man, Educators Amplified. Love it. All right, everybody. Have a great night. See y'all tomorrow. Thanks, Teacher Hallie.
Bye. Thank you.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Maggie Dawn.
It is day 16 and week 4 of Joe Biden's Top 100. Our theme this week, healthcare. You're not going to want to miss a single episode.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download the app for road work or closures on your route. Know before you go with 511 Wisconsin. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of Eau Claire, 93.5 The Tap, and on the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Vicki Barker, working through the heat wave.
You just gotta grab your ice and grab your rag and then wipe your face. That's it.
FedEx driver Kevin Hayward nationwide.
ER Dr. Carrie Lehman says temperatures like these can truly be life-threatening.
Worst case scenario, it can lead to heat stroke. And if you become someone who is affected by heat stroke, it could lead to damage to the brain.
On Friday, temperatures hit 95 in Philadelphia and 98 in Louisville. Officials in Maine have recorded nearly 80 heat-related emergency visits this week. The high temps are testing transit systems, too. In New York City, train travel at New York's Penn Station was disrupted by power problems, with delays and cancellations.
CBS's Bradley Blackburn reporting, and those roasting temperatures likely to last all weekend. Heat warnings in effect in much of Southern Europe, too. This summer isn't just poised to bring us record heat. Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas is warning we could see a record hurricane season, too.
Secretary Mayorkas visited the headquarters of the Federal Emergency Management Agency for a briefing about the hurricane season.
We are entering what could be a particularly difficult and challenging
time from the point of view of extreme weather events.
In fact, experts think this year could be one of the busiest on record. The U.S. is also coping with wildfires, floods, and this major wave of extreme heat. Mayorkas told the Associated Press the Disaster Relief Fund is expected to run out by mid-August, and Congress will need to shore it up. Michael Toscano, CBS News,
in
Washington.
In New York City, police and fire crews joined Coast Guard officers overnight searching for two teenaged boys. Witnesses say they disappeared in a wave at a beach under a no-swimming warning due to strong currents. Kaz Daughtry is with the NYPD.
Seeing that mom cry, that's her only son, one of the parents are here, and to hear her cry and pray on the beach, watching her pray on the beach, for us to locate her son. Department, this agency, will not rest until we locate these two swimmers.
Mass shooting at a grocery store outside Little Rock, Arkansas. This